ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14. The material world is a great force of enjoyment. Today's text is 28. We're still in this prose section, so I'll just read the verse in translation. Kvapi deva mayaya striya bhuja latopagudha praskana viveka vijnano yad vihara griharam bhakula hridayas tad ashaya vasakta sutta duhitri kalatra bhashita valoka vicheshtita parita hridaya atmanam ajita ajitatma pare de Tamasi Prahinoti. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Sometimes the conditioned soul is attracted by illusion personified, his wife or girlfriend, and becomes eager to be embraced by a woman. Thus he loses his intelligence as well as knowledge of life's goal. At that time, no longer attempting spiritual cultivation, he becomes overly attached to his wife or girlfriend, and tries to provide her with a suitable apartment. Again, he becomes very busy under the shelter of that home and is captivated by the talks, glances, and activities of his wife and children. In this way, he loses his Krishna consciousness and throws himself in the dense darkness of material existence. Please repeat. Sometimes the conditioned soul is attracted by illusion personified, his wife or girlfriend, and becomes eager to be embraced by a woman. Thus he loses his intelligence as well as knowledge of life's goal. At that time, no longer attempting spiritual cultivation, he becomes overly attached to his wife or girlfriend and tries to provide her with a suitable apartment. Again, he becomes very busy under the shelter of that home and is captivated by the talks, glances, and activities of his wife and children. In this way, he loses his Krishna consciousness and throws himself in the dense darkness of material existence. So the females can substitute husband and boyfriend for wife and girlfriend. The same principle. Whatever body you're in, you're still subjected to this illusion. Srila Prabhupada's purport: when the conditioned soul is embraced by his beloved wife, he forgets everything about Krishna consciousness. The more he becomes attached to his wife, the more he becomes implicated in family life. One Bengali poet, Bankim Chandra, says that to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is always very beautiful, even though ugly. This attraction is called Deva Maya. The attraction between man and woman is the cause of bondage for both. Actually, both belong to the Para Prakriti, the superior energy of the Lord, but both are actually Prakriti, female. However, because both want to enjoy one another, they are sometimes described as Purusha, male. Actually, neither is Purusha, but both can be superficially described as Purusha. As soon as man and woman are united, they become attached to home, hearth, land, friendship, and money. In this way, they are both entrapped in material existence. The word Bhuja Lata Upagudha, meaning being embraced by beautiful arms which are compared to creepers, describe the way the conditioned soul is bound within this material world. The products of sex life, sons and daughters, certainly follow. This is the way of material existence. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshtarne Om Agyanatam Irandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakanvatamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Shukadev Goswami is continuing here to remind Maharaj Parikshit. We wouldn't say inform him, because he knew Maharaj Parikshit was a king. He had been through all these situations, wife, children, home, hearth, land, money, friends. He knew all about this, but Shukadev Goswami was reminding him of the danger of one who's entrapped in that mentality. Now, we may ask again, how does Shukadev Goswami know about all these things? The dangers of having wife, children, money. He never had any of those things. He stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years, came out and left home immediately. Heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Vyasadeva, actually through to his disciples, he was instructing him. And then he left home, and as we know, he left home at 16 years old, totally naked, walked by this pond where women were taking bath, and they didn't even react because they could see, based on his physiognomy, that he was not attracted to them. He was not at all attracted. He was just so fixed in self-realization that he didn't even notice the women there. He saw everybody equally as spirit soul. You can imagine a 16-year-old boy going by a pool of naked women. There would be some reaction if he was an ordinary person. But there was no reaction in his body. So they knew immediately, this person is a Paramahansa, so they didn't even react either. But then when Srila Vyasadeva came running after him, my son, where are you going? Immediately the women covered up. So Vyasadeva took the time to stop and ask from them, why? My son went by, you didn't even react, and I'm coming by and you're covering up, why? So they explained that we can see he's Paramahansa, but you're a householder. They didn't say that he was not a Paramahansa, but they said, you're a householder, therefore you must make distinction between male and female. That's the point. Not that Vyasadeva was not, we know he's Shaktivedi Shavatar, he's realized he's completely beyond the material energy. But because he's in the garb of a householder, householders must make distinction. So one should not be insulted that, I'm a householder, why are you treating me like I'm in Maya? It is taken for granted that if you're a householder, you're affected by the material energy. You're affected. You're making distinction between male and female. That is the purview of the householders. So even though Shukadev Goswami had never been exposed, had never been married, didn't have any children, he knew how. One becomes realized by hearing. This is first class realization, first class experience. Not that you have to go through every experience in life. We spoke about this in my last class. That foolish people think that, oh, you've never done this and that, therefore, you know, you're not experienced and how can I listen to you? No. One doesn't have to go and, you know, set himself on fire to know what it's like to be burned. You know, nobody's suggesting that you go out and set yourself on fire. But they're always suggesting in terms of sense gratification. Oh, you never tried this sense gratification. Oh, you never tried that sense gratification. Therefore, you're not experienced. Therefore, how can you instruct me? I've been through all those situations. I know. I'm experienced. No, you don't have to go through that. Sense gratification is compared by the great acharyas to be like drinking poison. So nobody's going to tell you, hey, you never had, you know, strychnine. You never had any kind of, you never took this, you know, deadly poison, go out and do it, drink it, and tell me, no. No sane person is going to advise their children like that. Go out and drink poison, and then you'll know what's going on in the world. No, you don't have to. So similarly, one does not have to go out and chase after sense gratification to know that the poisonous effects. One can see. As Prabhupada used to say, the materialistic parents, they've gone through life chasing after this illusion. Wife, children, home, family, money, friends. And they're not happy, but still they will advise the children, you follow in my footsteps. I did it, I'm not happy, but you should do it also, and become unhappy. No, this is not intelligent. An intelligent person wants to know, is there some course of life that I can follow that will bring me real happiness? Not this flickering chapala sukha, this flickering happiness that for a few minutes I'm happy, and then for 10 days I'm distressed. And no, not like that. Not that kind of happiness. Is there some real happiness? Because this world is a shadow world. There was even a song, and I mean, those of my generation may remember, you know, where the shadows run from themselves. You remember that line, Surah? Famous rock anthem. So, yeah, everybody knows that this is a shadow world. Shadows are running from themselves. People are so afraid. Isn't it literally walking down a dark street at night and a shadow goes in immediately? We're afraid of shadows. We're chasing after shadows. We're afraid of shadows. It's a shadow experience. It's a shadow world. So there is a reality. When there's a shadow, there's a real thing that's casting the shadow. We know that. All right? So this is a shadow world. There must be a real world. Nowadays, the word spiritual is used loosely. Because the cheaters know that as soon as you put spiritual in the formula, people are attracted. Because everybody wants a spiritual experience. But nowadays they use it loosely for everything. Spiritual whitewater rafting. You know, you go to spiritual, this spiritual, everything spiritual. And they don't have the first clue, the first idea of what is spiritual. Now, recently there was in the news, this guy was running this spiritual seminars where people would come and they would starve them to death and put them in a hot house, and three of them died. Now he's in jail for giving them that spiritual experience. So this is not real spirituality. Those who are members of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness must know clearly what is spiritual and what is material, and be able to explain clearly to the public what is spiritual, what is material. We must know the characteristics of real spiritual life and material life. We must know these things. This is what Prabhupada labored to give us in his book, so that we would not be bewildered. We would not be distracted by cheaters like that. Come, you know, and starve yourself to death and go in this hothouse and this is a spiritual experience. No. This is idiocy. It's not spiritual. Spiritual yoga means Bodhi yoga. Bodhi yoga means intelligence. You have to employ your intelligence to discriminate what should be done, what should not be done, what is material, what is spiritual. And when we are fully educated in that, then we know how to act. We know how to act properly. Then we know where to find real happiness, because happiness is the motivating factor. We want to be happy. Nobody wants to be miserable. No sane person. So Krishna explains clearly in the fifth chapter. He explains that for one whose happiness is within, who's active and rejoices within, whose aim is inward, that's a true mystic yogi. He's liberated in the Supreme, and at the end, ultimately, he attains the Supreme. This is real happiness. Real happiness is inward. Why? Because the source of happiness is in there. Krishna says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, I am seated in everyone's heart. So Krishna's in there. So we don't have to look outside for happiness. Krishna's the source of everything. Krishna says, I am the source of everything, all material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. So also, genuine happiness emanates from the Supreme Lord. We don't have to look outside for happiness. We need to look, we train how to look inward. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is there. Earlier in that same chapter, 522, Krishna says, Yehi sangsparsha bhoga dukha yogana evati ajyantam atakotaya nateshu ramate buddha. The intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which arise from contact with the senses. We know. In order to have sense gratification, you have to bring your senses in contact with the objects of the senses. The eyes want to see something beautiful, so we look around, we're constantly looking around. Some beautiful, something handsome, something beautiful, always looking. The ears want to hear some sweet music, right? So we create our websites and we stream this kind of, you know, music that we think is beautiful. And the nose wants to smell something beautiful. The tongue wants to taste something really nice. So the senses are always pulling us. The five senses, five knowledge acquiring, five working senses, they always want to pull us to something that we consider to be attractive, that the mind is telling us is attractive. So the way to rise above that tendency to drink poison of sense gratification is to Krishnaize the senses consciously. So we know the eyes want to see something beautiful. Train the eyes to look at the deities every day. And not just look superficially, but really appreciate, as Prabhupada was saying in his lecture yesterday, this is God here. You may think it's a statue, but you're wrong. Because your eyes can't see spirit, and he gave the example of the father. The father's lying on the bed, dead. The coat is there, the hands are there, the arms are there, but you say, my father is gone. What do you mean gone? The body's still lying there. That means you never saw your father. That body that you used to call father is still there. But you know, everybody knows intrinsically, the Father is gone. That means that Father, the real person, the soul, you never saw, you never knew. So similarly, Prophet said, just like you never saw that soul that was your Father, you can't see the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Therefore, He kindly appears before us as the deity, to accept our worship, to accept, to give His mercy, to give His blessing. Every day, Shukadeva is sitting there giving the blessing of the Lord. It's not something idle. It's not something, you know, whimsical. The Supreme Lord, Dwarkadish, is blessing us. Come, take my blessings, take my mercy. Actually, He's not partial. It's not that He only gives His blessings to the Hare Krishnas. Just like Prabhupada gave that example, the sun is there, the sun is spreading its sunshine everywhere, heat and light, for everybody to take advantage of. But if you go inside and close all the doors and windows and say, I don't see any sun, there is no sun, sun doesn't exist, then that's your problem. You've created that situation. So similarly, out of ignorance, the ignorance that's being mentioned here in today's verse, we try to take shelter of and try to find happiness in wife, deha patta kalatradishu, atma sainishu sasupi, tesham pramananidanam, pashyanapi na pashyati. Very famous verse from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we're trying to take shelter of fallible soldiers, the body, children, wife, home, money, all these things are fallible, we all know it. Just like we ourselves are fallible, we know body has a birth date and there's a death date coming in the future, who knows when, how soon. So that's the same for everybody else. So if I'm going to die, I can't give real shelter to anybody, and similarly, they can't give real shelter to me. It's not possible. So we have to take shelter of something permanent. That's what spiritual means. Spiritual means, first of all, sat. It's eternal. Doesn't have a birth date or a death date. Doesn't come into being. Doesn't go out of being. Always existing. That is spiritual. Chit. There's real knowledge here. Ignorance is rampant in this world. People don't know what's going on. What happened and what's going to happen. We're always trying to find out. What happened? Can somebody tell me what happened? And then we want to know what's going to happen. We try to foretell the future. Because we're wrapped in ignorance. So spiritual means just the opposite. No ignorance. Full knowledge. And ananda. Spiritual life means, Prabhupada mentioned yesterday, Krishna is always joyful. Krishna is always joyful. He gave the example of Mother Yashoda and Krishna. He said Krishna is joyful being bound up by His mother. He said, who can chastise God? He's Supreme Being. Therefore, He selects somebody and says, you become my mother, you become my father, and chastise me. I enjoy that. I enjoy being chastised. Therefore, you become my mother, you become my father, and chastise me. This is God. And He gave the example of a rich person. He says, a rich person, they can eat anything they want. But sometimes they'll say, give me a little puff rice. Variety. Variety for a change of pace. So similarly with Krishna, He's God. He's in control of everything. Everybody's bound down to Him. Give me this, give me that. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Right? Everybody's praying like that. Buy me a house in Beverly Hills. Give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV. Om Jai Jagadish Hari. Everybody's praying like that. Everybody wants something from God. So God wants to give. He doesn't want people who are just begging from Him. He wants to give. He wants people who want to give Him. Like the parents. The parents are always worried. Mother Yashoda is always worried. Somebody's going to kidnap Krishna. Somebody, the cow is going to kick Krishna. She's constantly worried. Worried about Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is real Krishna consciousness. So we have to pray to be elevated to that platform where we're always conscious of Krishna. Not in the mood of God. This is not in the mood of our sampradaya. Other sampradayas, yes, they want us awe and reverence. But in our sampradaya, we want to see, just be in love with Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan, they're totally in love with Krishna to the point they forget that Krishna is God. The coward boys are pushing Krishna around and jumping on his back. And you can't do that if you think that he's God. Mother Yashoda is binding him with ropes. She couldn't do that. The one time that she realized that Krishna was God, she was stunned. She couldn't move. Remember that incident when the coward boys, headed by Balaram, they decided to play a trick on Krishna. So they went to Mother Yashoda and told her that Krishna is eating dirt. And so she came to Krishna and said, are you eating dirt? He said, no, they're just lying. They're telling lies on me. And she said, who am I supposed to believe? He said, I'll open my mouth and show you. I haven't been eating dirt. So he opened his mouth. Yashoda looked in. And what did she see? What did she see? That's right. All the dirt in the universe. All the planets, all the sky, stars, the sky. She saw herself in Krishna's mouth. She was stunned. She couldn't move. Because generally speaking, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't see Krishna as God. They see Krishna as my friend, my lover, my son. Like that. They're not thinking of Krishna as God. So this is what we should be praying for. how to become purified enough to get to the point of seeing Krishna in one of these five rasas, so we're not bewildered by this illusory, shadowy presentation of the material world. Recently, one of the devotees here came and asked me, he said, you know, how can we have the motivation to go on? So I explained to him that the motivation is that we accept that we are by nature pure. We are by nature pure. And therefore, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Otherwise, we're so covered by material illusion, we can become discouraged, isn't it? Year after year, we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then we go outside and, you know, material desires can flare up again. So it can become discouraging. It can become really discouraging. So the encouragement is, if we accept that what Krishna says that we are His eternal parts and parcels. Krishna is supremely pure, therefore the parts and parcels are also pure. But we're just covered. We're covered by this material energy. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta, Chaitar Galka, Tatapara. Abhidya Jnana Sangyaka, Tritiya Shakti Ishate. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that there are three categories of energy. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta. The internal energy, which is para, is supreme. Chaitar Galka, Tatapara. Chaitar Galka means the living entities. We are all Chaitra Gya. We have this Chaitra, this body is compared to a field. And Gya, Chaitra Gya means the knower of the field. So we're also Tata Para. We're also Para. We're also beyond this material energy. Abhidya Karma Sangyakya. But there's a third energy, this Abhidya, this material energy, which is characterized by ignorance and fruitive activities. So we can check ourselves. One indicator that I'm getting out of ignorance, out of the material influence, is that I no longer engage in fruitive activities. Not that I no longer act. This is a mistake that some so-called yogis make. Material world means fruitive activities, so let me not act anymore. Just sit down and be like a stone. So that's better. It's better to sit down and be stone-like than to engage in, you know, sinful activities. But better than that is to act in a nice karmic way. Act for the pleasure of the Supreme, in other words. Bhokta Ram Yoga Tapas. Everything is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. So if we just catch up that one idea, that I'm not the only knower of this field. Everything that I do is also witnessed by Krishna. Krishna says, I'm in your heart. I'm witnessing everything. Therefore, turn inward and try to satisfy me, not just try to satisfy yourself. Because it doesn't happen anyway. We know from experience. We try so hard to satisfy ourselves by so many schemes. Going here, going there, getting this job, that job, making this amount of money, that amount of money, getting involved with this person, that person, and still we're not happy. And this has been going on since time immemorial, lifetime after lifetime. So we need to wake up and realize it's not going to happen. If it didn't happen by now, it's not going to happen. Very good chance it's not going to happen. So what am I supposed to do? Be inactive? No. Be active, but be active for Krishna's satisfaction under the guidance of Krishna's representative, not whimsically. Therefore, Krishna sends his representative, pure representative, Srila Prabhupada, to establish a society in which we can work cooperatively for his satisfaction. Doing things that are authorized, not whimsically, not that today everybody needs to act in an authorized way, just like we have our property division, we have some devotees who are very expert in fixing things, but it's not that they get up and every day they decide, well, I'm just going to go fix that. No, there's a structure. They're told, today this needs to be fixed. Okay, I go and fix that. Similarly, Sankirtan devotees, they don't just get up and decide, okay, I'm a book distributor, I'll just go wherever I want. No. Generally speaking, they're instructed. Today you go to the airport, or today you go downtown, whatever. There's always some authority structure. But we chafe against this. This is a symptom of material consciousness. We chafe at authority. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We always want to do whatever we want. Why? Because we want the results for ourselves. We want to be glorified. Oh, you did so nicely. You did that. It was your idea. Oh, wonderful. How great you are. No, but the devotee doesn't want that. The devotee is not looking for praise and glorification. The devotee is looking for satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. And naturally, if we do that, if we naturally engage our energy in satisfying Guru and Krishna, then glorification comes naturally. Naturally. Krishna sees to it that his devotees are glorified. We don't have to worry about glorification. Krishna sees that. Whatever we're doing, Krishna witnesses, and he makes sure that the devotee is glorified. So we don't have to worry about that. We simply have to engage our energy in Krishna's service. If we don't do that, if we misuse our human form of life, then the Isha Upanishad informs us that asuryanama te loka anena tapasavata tangste pritya vigachanti yeke chatmahano janaha, that the killer of the soul. Now you say, somebody may immediately stop us. What do you mean killer of the soul? You've informed us that Bhagavad Gita says the soul cannot be killed. So how do you mean killer of the soul? Yeah, killer of the soul means that you're killing the spiritual aspect of life by being willingly involved in materialistic activities. So you're killing your spiritual existence. Temporarily, not permanently, but still, you're setting yourself back. You could be setting yourself back millions of years. If you rise up through all the different species of life and you come to the human form and you misuse it, you can glide down to some hellish form of life. You can become a worm. And from worm life to human life is a very long journey. Once you fall down that far, it's a gradual progress over millions of births to get back to the human form. So therefore, one who takes human birth and does not use it properly is considered to be killing the soul. Atmaha, or Atmahana, it says in this verse, same thing. Killer of the soul. And what happens? The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must dwell in the darkest regions, known as the planets of the faithless. This is what the Ishopanishad informs us. So we have to be very, very careful not to fall into that category of soul killing. Actually, this material world, this shadow world, it's nothing but killing. Everybody's killing or being killed, right? Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam. Palguni tatar mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Ahastani sahastanam. Those who have no hastas, no hands, they become food for those who have hands. But not always. Sometimes just the opposite. Even now on this planet, there are creatures with no hands, like snakes, that can be so big and violent they can kill and eat human beings who have hands. So it doesn't always work that way. Ahastani sahastanam. Apadani chatuspadam. Those who have no legs usually become food for the four-legged. But again, not always. Palguna tatra mahatam, jivo jiva saju. The general rule is that one living being becomes food for another. Which means living beings become killed. They get killed by somebody else and eaten. But as human beings, we don't have to kill hapless creatures. We know that there's a certain allotment for us. The vegetable kingdom is there. Yes, that's also killing. Therefore, we have to offer that vegetable preparation in sacrifice to the Lord. And then we are absolved of any sin attached to that. So human life means we have to live very responsibly, very intelligently, and to avoid these pitfalls that are being mentioned in today's verse. Not that one cannot engage in sense activity. It doesn't say that. What the Prophet said in his purport was, they become overly attached. This is the point. Not that there's no attachment, because sometimes people say, you people are just, what, you want to be like without feeling and without attachment? No, one cannot live like that. One must have some feeling, one must have attachment. It's natural to have attachment for wife, for children like that. But not overly attached to the point where one, as is mentioned here, completely forgets one's spiritual life and becomes and just follows the material way of existence. That's what we have to be careful of. Not that we live without an attachment. That's not possible. We're not stones. We're going to develop attachment for God, brother, God, sister, wife, children like that. But don't become overly attached so you lose sight of the ultimate goal. So we can stop there. Any questions, comments? Let's see if there's anybody on the internet with a question. Anybody here with a question, comment? Okay, nothing on the internet, nothing here. Granta Rashi Mabhavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I think It's open.
I was wondering. Maybe.